Welcome back to another episode of It's All Bad. I'm Ukrainian Danny, here with Keith Wager. We got Uncle Mike. We got Lawrence here tonight. Charlie's in the cut. We got Dave Scott Stone on the ones and twos, holding it down, giving us the best possible sound we can get. I mean, it's been sounding great as of whatever Dave touches turns to gold. So thank you, Dave. And our very, very, very special guest tonight, we got Nate No Face in the house. Straight from Tucson, Arizona, about to blow up. I mean, he's already blown up, but about to blow up even bigger, going on tour with Horrors in the next few weeks. He was just in South by Southwest, but hold up, yet again. We have something very special to announce before we get into the episode. May 19th at the Echoplex in Los Angeles, the first annual It's All Badapalooza. We got past guests. We got future guests. We have special guests. We have musical guests. We have Tokes DJing throughout the night. We got new merch. I'm out of town. I'm still on the road getting my grandma from Ukraine. We just landed in Germany today. She's safe. She's all good. Thank you guys, everybody that reached out. Means the world to me. But while I'm out of town, we got new merch that's being printed. I saw some stuff on the gram today. My mind is blown. I cannot wait to get back and check it out. I can't wait to show it to all you guys. And it'll be there on May 19th at the Echoplex. We're going to have a very, very, very special musical guest. We can't say who it is. Think outside the box. But let's get into today's episode. We're going to talk about smuggling drugs. We're going to talk about from Mexico into Arizona. We're going to talk about this meth psychosis. We're going to talk about smoke and crack and the people that are maybe there, maybe not, probably not there outside of our windows when we get to doing so. Man, we got some good stories for you guys. Nate's going to learn what edging is. He didn't know. He thought he was the only one that's ever edged until today. So I'm going to quit yapping. Let's get into the episode. Thanks for listening to you guys. And remember, May 19th, Echoplex, tickets live, link in bio. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of It's All Bad. I am Ukrainian Danny.
I'm Keith.
This is Mike.
And this is Nate. Nate No Face.
Yeah, Nate, what up?
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Funny story, we had originally four mics set up, and Keith's bunny chewed on the mic cord.
No, so good.
Lawrence and I can share this one.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. It's funny. I really want to remember because somebody's like, "Oh, fucking Nate's got stories. You got to hit him. You got to bring him on." But I don't know who. Like, it's gonna drive me nuts, you know. But
I talk a lot on the internet, so you know, I vent a lot. So I'm sure someone heard something on there.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So wait, where are you from?
Tucson, Arizona.
Oh,
born and raised. Yeah, been in LA now about 12 years.
Oh wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Been here a while.
Yeah, yeah. 2 years in South Central, and the rest have been in Long Beach.
Oh nice. Cool.
Yeah, yeah. I love Long Beach.
Strong Beach. I had a fucking, my buddy I was in prison with, Fatty, from Long Beach. I remember, he's a big old giant motherfucker, you know? Hey, and he's like, he goes, "Hey, Lugnut, what do you think of this? I'm going to get Longolian across my stomach." I'm like, you know, and we're in prison. I'm like, I don't know, sometimes a motherfucker got to get Longolian. And I'm like,
agree.
I was kind of jealous. I'm like, fucking Kavinin don't sound that cool, right? Hey, but his ass got up there, and they were outlining it, and he's big. He had a big-ass stomach, and he couldn't make it past the outline.
Oh, shit.
He's just stuck with fucking just open sores.
Oh, man. So how was it growing up in Tucson? How was, you know?
I mean, it was fun. I mean, I love this city. You know, it was while we're like maybe 50 miles from the border. I think we're like the only freeway in the States with some freeways still measured in kilometers because they're going into Mexico.
Oh,
and
shit.
Then, yeah, yeah. And then my family was like, we're pretty just kind of deep there. So I don't know. It was getting into trouble, you know, but it's like we're desert guys, you know? So we're just fucking just doing dumb shit in the desert. And then in Tucson, being so close to the border, you got the best drugs, and they're very, very cheap. Yeah. So it was
they cheap?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what all my friends, that's all you do in Tucson is everyone. Sometimes you'll run into guys out of town and they're all doing the same thing you're doing. It all goes out of town, you know?
Oh, right.
Because it's so cheap there, you make a lot of money sending it out, you know?
Oh, fuck.
But for the people who are just stuck in the city, it's kind of like, fuck. All right, we got all these drugs. Fucking let's just do them. So, yeah.
So when did you start partying? Or quote unquote partying?
Yeah, you know? I mean, shit, 17 years old. I mean, I'm doing cocaine, you know? Like I said, I don't think I've had a sober weekend in my life since I was 17 years old. Every weekend it's cocaine and, or it's been, you know, it was, and weed. Yeah, so about 17, I think I started just doing bumps here and there and smoking weed and stuff.
Yeah. And then did you start smoking it eventually?
I started smoking it in about, my 20s. The first thing I started doing is just putting it on the weed, you know, just snow caps, and we were just smoking
the snow
it. Yeah. And then
Danny likes the snow caps.
That's like the best thing ever.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And then, or Primos, you know, or just, you know, throwing it in your joint. And yeah, and then from there. But once you're doing that, then next thing I know, we were putting it on foil. We would put it on foil and then put a little baking powder or baking soda on there and then put water on it and then just like wipe the whole foil with it and then make like a paste and then we would smoke it like that. Uh-huh. And I fell in love with that shit.
Yeah.
We would call them bell ringers and that's what. And then you just start smoking crack.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. That's how it goes. Like, that's kind of how
it boy.
So
mama didn't raise no quitter.
Yeah, that's what it was for me, man. Once that happened, yeah. Dude. That was my drug of choice for a while until I met meth. But yeah, it was all crack for me.
Did you stay awake a long time on crack or just a few days here and there?
Yeah, not really. I mean, I would if I was mixing it with coke. And, you know, coke, I would stay up for days, man. I mean, to the point where that's why I kind of started smoking more is because my nose would be so fucked up. Like, my nose would just hurt so bad from doing so much coke. So, yeah. But crack, I could come down off of it. I'd go for a couple of days, and then, yeah, I'd just fall asleep.
Yeah. It's so interesting when you go in that switch from coke to crank. Because, you know, remember the first time you try it, you know, you're like, okay, it just keeps you up longer.
Yeah.
You don't realize what you're about to enter.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly. No, for sure.
You don't understand. It's like,
no. Like, yeah, exactly.
You know, like
I remember smoking crack and then I didn't like the way it made me feel. So like within minutes I'm smoking, like they had meth and crack all there. So I would hit the crack and be like, oh, I don't like this. Smoke the meth to try to kind of get a little focused. And
yeah.
Hit the crack and be like, I don't like this. And I'd be going back and forth to crack and meth. Like, yeah.
Double whammy.
Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine that.
Yeah, that was
That's like some Danny shit. Like Danny, if you do some shit like, I got a little bit of coke and a little bit of speed, I'll just bang it together.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. you gotta be resourceful. You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
And then, when did you discover
the meth?
The Scante.
Yeah. That was, I mean, because I would do tons of fucking coke. I mean, I would just become a nutty horn dog. And then I would go find me some prostitutes. And I'm not talking Backpage. I'm talking one sneaker wearing.
Dude, yes.
You know what I mean? Like, if you got two shoes, you're too high class for me. I need the one sneaker. So, yeah, I would just pick them up and we'd go smoke crack. And then thinking back, I don't know why I ever did that because I never could get hard. I mean, I'm just sitting there with these fucking ladies. But one day this girl takes me into her closet and her fucking man's like in the next room. He's totally cool with it. But she's just like, as she's going down on me, she's like, yo, try this. And I could tell the pipe was different, but I didn't know what it was. And I didn't ask. I was just like, all right, let's fucking smoke this shit. Mm-hmm. Fuck it. And then she had to hold it for me and spin it for me and everything. But when I hit that, I was like, holy fuck, man. I mean, to me, blowing that cloud of smoke ain't nothing like crack or nothing. No. I mean, that was on, you know. I literally like don't even remember her. But then after that, every weekend, it was like that was my go-to house. Like I'd do some coke with the boys. They go home. And then I'm out, you know, like my boys didn't. So we'd all be doing coke at the club. They'd meet dope girls at the club, go home. And then I'd go to the dope spots. I remember one dope spot. I could hear the other heads in there whisper, who's the college boy? Because I'd be in the most grimiest crack house coming from a balling ass bottle service club. Yeah. So I'm there with the leather and I'm dressed up looking like the, you know, they didn't see that. And I'm in a crack house with these, you know, fucking some crazy folks. And yeah. I did not, I looked like I was just coming off of a Hollywood club. And I'd sit there and I they would be like, motherfucker, you gotta go. Yeah. Like, I'd outsmoke the crackheads in the house, man. And then there'd be times I'd break them off. Like, yo, let me stay here a little longer. I'll give you $200 because I just want to sit here and smoke. And yeah. finally, they'd kick my ass out. Like, yeah.
I was telling a story today. We had one friend who was like a normal dude, our friend George. And he was from, like, the wealthiest family in Covina, you know, but, like, you know, all of us are wearing, like, fucking Dickies and sweatshirts and shit. And your man's, like, in, a button-down shirt and khakis. No bullshit. And, like, but he was the wildest, right?
Right.
But, dude, he would be, you would have to remove him. Like,
oh, shit. All
right, dude, you got to go home, right? Yeah. And he's the one, I've told the story before, he called the, he was paranoid of clowns. And he'd start hallucinating and shit. But his dad was a really high-power lawyer, right, in our town. And the fucking cops come because George has called him because he said there was clowns rappelling into the backyard out of a helicopter. Fuck.
Holy shit.
And the cops come. Did I tell this before?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the better one, which I forgot to tell, which I was telling somebody today, is him and our friend Jason, they were on acid in downtown Covina. The street behind the police station, you know, there's like the fence, like the gate where they drive the cop cars in. Uh-huh. But George, it was Father's Day, he's driving his car, and he kept telling Jason, like, I got to do something for my dad for Father's Day, right? Blah, blah, blah. And Jason's like, dude, just, and he looks, and he sees there's dudes in coveralls. You know, they're trustees.
Yeah, yeah.
But he just assumes it's a Jiffy Lube. I mean, we've grown up there.
But
he's on acid. Yeah. So he goes, I'm going to get my dad's oil changed. And Jason's like, no, it's a fucking cop shop. Fucking Jason did the fucking stop, drop, and roll. He just jumped out of the moving car, rolled away.
Whoa.
And George pulled right in and went right to jail.
Oh, shit.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Fuck. Shit. Yeah, seeing clowns, man. And I don't know, the shit, like shadows and people. I remember one time being in an apartment and just smoking and it was raining and I thought a couple was outside my window and it was raining. So I'm sitting there talking to them all night. I'm going to the window and I'm like, yo, because I'm thinking, oh, I mean, I would get like a freak on that shit, you know? So I'd get horny as fuck. So I would go to this window at my apartment and I'd be like, yo, come inside, get out of the rain. You and your man, come hang out with me. And every fucking 20 minutes, I'm going to the window talking and it's just pouring. Well, finally, the sun comes out and I was just talking to a fucking vent, man. It was just like a vent outside. I literally thought it was a couple like holding each other and shit to stay out of the rain. And it was just a silver fucking vent. I was like, what the fuck, bro? And I'm not kidding. I talked to that vent like all night. All fucking night, man. Inviting them to come in and have a threesome, but it was like it was a vent, man.
Once you were saying how, like, you know, you couldn't get your dick hard.
Yeah.
I think, fuck, I hate repeating the stories, but I think you'll appreciate this. Like, I was at this pad and I go in the bathroom and I go to pee and my dick literally, it looked like a stack of nickels. It was like that. And there was no head. The head was gone. Literally, it was just a little, like, aardvark nose, right? And I'm like, oh my God, the head of my dick fell off. And did I drop? I was crying.
Oh, shit.
And I was praying. I was like, please, I'll never do this again. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah, no. God, yeah, yeah.
I'm like trying to like play it back. Did it fall down my pant leg and shit?
Oh, shit.
And then finally, I just had to fucking slide it back. It was just hidden in there. Like, tease it out with a piece of lettuce, like a fucking
turtle.
Sometimes you gotta dig.
Yeah.
Was it, you think that was from the dope, Keith? Or it was the batch?
Because you know how it's different. You know, like, me and Lawrence yesterday were talking to a friend. I called this friend of mine who used to make it. And I was like, hey, can you explain to Lawrence the difference between the shit you guys used to make and the shit now? And he's like, if you haven't done what we used to make, he goes, you can't even imagine, you know?
And but why? You mean like potency or just
different pH levels? I was telling you. Yeah, like, so sometimes, it's weird. It's different kind of highs. And I think it's all based on the pH level of your body.
Oh, wow.
You know? And and if it's off, because some people are just learning, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And like, and I think this one was just off. Like, because nobody else, I don't think, had that problem.
Oh, wow.
Like,
okay, yeah.
Like, Lawrence would be fucking jacking for 96 hours. He wasn't.
That was me, man.
You know what's crazy is, like, check it out. So, like, I was driving back with him, and he, and like, you know, Nate was like, you know what, man? I get all freaky. I'm like, well, I'm, you know what I'm known for on the podcast? I'm known for beating off. He's like, are you really? Are, am I the only? He thought he was the only one that he was jacking off. And I'm like, yo, dude, like, I'm the jack-off master. My first episode was meth and masturbation with Logan. He goes, I'm not alone? I'm like, no, you're not alone, bro. And my next one was the master nut. He's like, you know, he's just like, that's fucking crazy, you know?
Nate's all thinking he's a pioneer. He's all picturing himself in chaps. I discovered land.
He thought you were like unique. Or some shit like they're like no man nothing not at all dude
no it'd be to the point where I couldn't walk like the, my dick hitting my boxers or shorts would hurt because I just and then I don't know what one time I don't know what the fuck it was but the girl ended up yelling at me it was something that I thought was lube so I'm just using it to jack off the whole time and then the next day my shit just started and she yelled at me she's like what are you doing and I forget now. But I just know the next day my shit was just peeling layers of skin. Just...
I had so many scabs on my dick, okay, dude. Like, so then, it's, then it's, I, you're okay. It, yeah, okay. Then. Yeah, you're all right, dude. Yeah,
you're right. When I was in Chino prison, right, and these dudes were like, they were taking these spray paint cans and cracking them open and taking this little metal ball out of them, and they would slice their dick open and push it under the skin.
Oh fuck!
And I'm like,
is that good? You,
well, it's I've heard stories that they do crazy mods. Yeah,
they
okay.
were doing mods, but then my homeboy, like, we're at this house in Glendora, and he's fucking around with this chick. She comes out screaming. I was like, yo, what? Like, I thought the cops were coming or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She's like, his dick's bleeding or something. I'm like, oh, what? Fuck. And that thing had come out.
Ooh, shit.
I think they still do that. I knew this dude that did I think it was like a four-leaf clover, and they'll carve them out of a toothbrush when they're fucking busted, and then they'll put it under their fucking, under their dick, and it makes a clit stimulator.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So they have it in there.
It's but like it's a fresh tickler.
Yes.
You've heard of that other thing, that sounding, right?
Well, sounding. No. We're starting with my episode on Meth with Lawrence.
Sounding
is you stick a tube in it with a vibration. It does a frequency inside the urethra of your dick, and it vibrates inside of your cock, and you end up coming. Right?
Oh, that's what it is?
Yeah, it's sounding.
But it's
not just sounding.
Putting it in?
No, you're sounding. It's a vibration. Yeah, it's a frequency.
It's, it's for the man.
It's for the man. You stick it in your dick hole. It's like Indians made this shit up. You stick the shit in your dick hole, dude, and then it vibrates and it's sounding. And then you end up busting a fat ass nut. It was crazy.
I just
want
to record it now. Make some music.
Yeah. Sounding, man. Go on Pornhub. Do sounding, and you'll see it.
Nate No Face's live show just got a lot more interesting.
April 15th.
Yeah, sounding.
Hey, can we get the keyboard back?
Crazy. Yeah, the sounding, man.
Exactly. I heard.
I never heard that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Mike, you were freaked out. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe that shit on that.
Well, I just thought it was putting something up there. I didn't know it vibrate. That sounds like a bonus anyway.
For sure.
Doesn't it hurt to put it in there, Lawrence?
I only put shards in my dick. I've never actually, that really hurt, but I never actually put like under
shards of methamphetamine.
Yeah, the last episode with Annie, I would put shards in my dick. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And that was for that. And what was that for?
For fun, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just want to
know what it does. Like,
what it does is it really fucking hurts.
Okay,
you know?
I can imagine. Exactly.
Yeah. So like, yeah,
it
was crazy, dude.
Imagine it burns going through your nose. Imagine
what
it feels like the other nose.
Right, exactly.
Your other nose, yeah.
The nether nose.
Yeah. As Danny Metz, one of our guests that we had on a few years back, he calls when you put shit in your ass, he calls it putting it in your south mouth.
South mouth.
He goes, yeah, that goes
what up,
the south
Danny
mouth.
Metz? Yeah. Oh, man. American Danny.
South mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Quick update. Charlie just got back with, I believe, another mic cable. So we're about to have four mics. Dialed in, but let's keep this going. Yes.
So cool.
Yeah.
The nether throat.
Yeah.
Nether throat.
It's funny. You reminded me about like going to, you know, like, cause I was the same way where I was like, I was the party guy, but like I would go to the party to like the bottle service to the fucking whatever the sponsored, the Ciroc party or whatever.
Right,
I would
party.
Go there. Yeah. To hang out and like, cause there's some cool chicks there and whatever, you know, but then. But that's not the kind of, that's not my party. You know,
no,
that
exactly.
would be like, that's the hold me over party until I get to the real party,
exactly.
you know? And I would like, I remember leaving the Standard Hotel, like Rest in peace. I think both of them are gone now. Yeah, they're gone. But I remember leaving the Standard rooftop on downtown. You know, and they would have the pool parties.
Wait, you remember those? Yeah, they're done.
Yep. Hollywood shut down a few years ago, or beginning of COVID, and downtown's gone now.
Okay,
but I remember being at like I think it was Swimming with Sharks or like one of those like Sunday parties. It was like funny Saturday Sunday parties, and I'm there, and it's like my birthday weekend, and my homies are DJing, and my girl's there, and we got a fucking our own little area, and we got fucking bottles, you know, whatever. Like, we got drinking, and we're smoking blunts, and everything's great. And I'm wearing, like, and this is, like, you were bringing up, like, the whole, like, Ed Banger era, you know?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
This was, like, those days, you know? So I'm wearing some, like, way out colorful shit. I have a fucking fanny pack on.
Yeah, it was
like,
all about styling.
Oh, yeah. Like, everything's neon colors.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe, and I'm gonna fucking, oh, man. No, I'm not maybe. Definitely some fucking shutter shades on.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Those,
dude, the shutter shades,
yeah,
you know?
I remember those. And a yellow pair.
Exactly, yeah. I think like neon green with the yellow hat. And I get it in my head that, like, I don't know, that thing comes on, you know, that happens in me. And I'm just like, you know what? This ain't a fucking party. Like, this is whack, and nobody, I don't like anybody here, and these fucking people aren't my people. Like, you know, maybe my girl was talking to somebody else, to like one of our friends, and I get that thing in my head.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember just fucking taking off and like, and I'm there, I'm wearing fucking flip-flops, you know? Like, I'm, and I take off, and I walk my ass down to fucking 7th and San Julian, and I'm, like, getting a pipe, and I'm getting the fucking, I'm getting the whole kit, and I'm trying to smoke. And, like, for those that are listening that aren't aware with Skid Row, you know, there's, like, a certain, you know, you can't go down there, you can't be fucking pulling up looking like that on Skid Row, you know?
Right,
because right away, like, you're just a fucking mark. Like, they see you, and they're fucking coming for your ass.
Yeah.
And, like, I get swarmed, you know? And I'm not, like, I'm not in peak fucking physical shape at this point either,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I'm sucked up. I'm smoking fucking rock, you know? Yeah. So basically, I go to get this fucking whatever. I go to get this rock, and I get fucking, and I fucking end up kind of like, I get one rock, and as I'm smoking it, another dude runs up and tries to swing at me, and a third dude runs up with a knife and tries to jack, you know?
Oh,
so basically,
shit.
I end up getting jacked for whatever little money I had, and I dip out of there, and I leave, and my phone's dead the whole time, you know? My phone fucking dies, so I end up heading back. And I come back home and I get to the house and my girlfriend's there and she's like, dude, what? She's like, oh, man, like, what are you? She's like, we were all looking for you. What happened? You know, what'd you do? And I'm all mad at them. You know, like, I'm fucking pissed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, fuck you guys, you know? And
you know, the night I just
I'm fucking mad at them all. And I get to, and then she's like, what happened? I'm like, you know, fucking whatever. And she's like, so all you wanted to do was go, like, fucking cop some dope or whatever, you know? And I go, yeah, that's all I wanted to do. She's like, why don't you fucking tell me? I would have driven your ass.
Exactly.
So we get back in the car, and it's like round two. We go down there and cop, and keep the party fucking keeps on going.
I don't know how many times I'd hear about that when I would dip. And my buddies later would be like, bro, we got girls. We did it. What the fuck you go do? And I'm like, the party was that super 8 for me, motherfucker.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. All right. We got mics. Lawrence is mic'd up.
No.
Mike is here. Keith. I'm Danny. We got Nate No Face. We're all back.
Okay, so last episode, Danny, you're like, Hassan talks about there's two type of tweakers, right?
Uh-huh.
And I was in the car with Nate right now. He's talking about there's the indoor tweaker and there's the outdoor tweaker.
Oh, yeah.
So, like,
oh,
we're the indoor tweakers.
Yeah.
We get holed up for 3 days. He has a hooker. We have porn. We just got to do our thing. We stroke it out. We're kind of like, you know, meth monsters inside. But you're like the outside tweaker. You're
I couldn't function out.
I couldn't function. I'm not trying to even function
exactly.
outside. I just want to be in my head in the hole. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's what I'm all about. So,
exactly.
I'm the outdoor tweaker. I want to go boost shit. I want to go break in. I want to dumpster dive. I want to find stuff.
I admired you. Yeah. Like, I really did. Even at the beginning of my meth career, I'm like, how do these fools go out and cause these robberies and do this and like socialize and like actually eat McDonald's
function?
Because I'm just like, I just turn this really, I freeze up and I just want to do porn.
And that's
it. That's all I want to do. Despite whatever else is going on.
Exactly.
You know, you're talking about last episode, you were like, yo, like, oh yeah, people would ask me to go boost stuff. And like, I'm the guy in the car that you're like mad at. Like, dude, you told me to get this shit. And I'm just stuck on Instagram right on the phone, staring at my phone the whole time while you're boosting on the store.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm the originator of the idea, but you're the one that actually follows through.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. I'm like, we would never get along easy. You would rob my ass.
Or we would be, it's like the yin to the yang. Yeah, you need them both, you know?
Right, exactly. It would be synergistic. Like
exactly.
Yeah. And I wouldn't get mad either. Actually, you say your friends would get mad, but me, I'd be like, "Oh, cool, dude, chill." And I'd put my head back down and do my thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm the one that's spaced out, and you can do the action. You know what
exactly.
Yeah. It'd be a good relationship. Yeah. It would work out, yeah.
I can't stand being in the fucking house.
Really? No way, see?
Keith, you're always out, that's too, crazy. Right? Yeah. Yeah, you and Danny get along like that. I'm just...
Me and Mike were talking about it when he got here. I'm like, I can't stand being in the house now, and I'm not on speed.
Okay.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah. I think, yeah, I had to just hold up. That was it. Once I took that hit, I wasn't leaving nowhere. Hmm. Not at all.
Did you immediately stop cocaine after that? You got that hooker in the closet, and she served you. You felt like that rush? Coke, fuck coke.
It was always coke for me. Cool. And coke was always like the starter. Like I said, I never really kind of woke up and be like, you know what, I'm going to go get some meth tonight. Right. You know, it was always, I'm going to do some bumps.
Right.
And then I would fool myself. I'd be like, oh, I'm going to get some coke tonight. And yeah. I'm not going to go to that place. I'm going to be able to do this coke and just chill. Never. Never. Man. Never.
It's like, but you had a lot of access though, right? Because of your family connection and everything.
I mean,
like that.
I'm not, my, or like, when I was coming up, all my people would, no one, meth wasn't around. I mean, we weren't slinging that.
For cocaine though.
Cocaine, yeah, like nothing. But then again, it's like like I remember one time my boy was just going through it. He was jonesing so bad, and he wanted me to ask my roommate at the time to get him some coke. But it's like my people were like, nah, like my boy had bricks. Like I was embarrassed. I'm like, dude, I'm not gonna go ask him for you to get a gram, and he's gonna have to open up a brick and like break it off. So right. I didn't really go to my people for coke because I didn't want them to see me fucked up. I mean, I did at the party moment, but once I was in that mode of smoking rock or needed drugs, I wouldn't go to my people.
You don't want to seem like an underling or
exactly.
Like you were the other guy.
Exactly.
You want to stay on this side.
Exactly. Right, so that's when I would. That's why once that high came or that Jones came to do it, I was in the streets, like, you know, copping from some dope houses. Never my people.
What brought you to L.A.?
I mean, well, aviation dried up. So I'm just sitting there and I'm going through it like fucked up, dating strippers, just fucked up. It's so crazy because my people, like, they go hard on me for being a dope head, but then the same ones who were like, yo, go out. You're doing music in L.A. You're going out to L.A. a lot. You're dealing with musicians, so we're going to give you a key. Why don't you go out to L.A. and try to slang it? So I came out here with a key, and I thought...
They should have printed you a key.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it like a bag? Or, I mean, like, was it like...
A homie and his wife drove it. I was there, and the homie and his wife drove it up. And it was just like a, you know, the key's 2.2 pounds. It's just like a little brick, and it was Honey Bear is what we called it. It had a stamp of a bear in it. Right. It was like, because we were like, oh, we're going to kill it. Nate's knows music people, and we got the best coke in the world. And, bro, I lost 7 ounces of it to the Pueblos, to the projects that I left. And then, I mean, it was basically sell someone a little bit, and then I'll sell you a ball, and I'm about to sniff the rest of this.
Project.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, my boy still owed 10 grand, right? Yeah, he's like,
did they write it off like you're cool?
No, motherfuckers got to do this. But it's family, you know? It's like, when you got it, give it to me.
Right.
We're not going to hold you to the fire.
Well, that's so cool, man. Because, like, man, getting fronted a key. I mean, I'm fronting a friend of the ball. Like, that's fucking my wildest dream was getting a ball. You're getting a fucking key. Like, someone give me a pound or some shit of meth. I'm like, wow.
No, it was, yeah. But I ended up just fucking snorting most that shit.
What's up with pushing this brick weed?
Oh, I mean, that's just what in Arizona, that's what we did. Like, it was all the bud was coming through. This was before what these kids are smoking nowadays. And yeah, so I mean, and where I lived, man, everybody was involved in the dope game. Everybody. I don't care. Your Nana, she's maybe being used as a stash house. It's like everyone I knew, even legit people, were somehow a stash house, something helping you, writing something off, putting something in her name. Everyone I knew growing up was in the dope game. It wasn't just my crew. It was like, my best friends are doing it. My brother's 3-time felon. I got another brother busted, you know, doing 80 pounds of cocaine, did 10 in the feds. My best friend indicted for selling thousands of pounds of cocaine. They never caught him with nothing, but he had to go do 10. It's like everybody was selling drugs.
What's up with the weed, though? Like, where do they grow 50 pounds of weed?
Mexico.
Yeah. So you bring it over the border?
Yeah, yeah. Everything. They would bring it, rigs, produce. Like, if normally a company in the 90s, if they were a produce company and they're bringing fruit, they're probably bringing buds.
But you said you had, like, a brick company, your family? And
we owned a block company. We could sell blocks, cement, just everything. So I would see a lot of diesels come in.
So you had the logistics on point.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, when NAFTA, was, like I said, when NAFTA happened, man, they flooded
North
the border.
American Fair Trade Agreement.
Yeah, yeah. They flooded the fucking borders. Once that's trucks amazing. Could come back and forth as they wanted, it was on.
Wow.
Can you tell more about the NAFTA? Because kind of like,
I don't know too much about the political side
NAFTA?
Of the agreement.
No.
It's like, so like...
That was one of the fuck-up that Clinton did.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know about that?
Wait, tell us. Yeah,
as much as, I mean, I love Bill Clinton, but that was a mistake he made.
See, I see a lot of people say that now in hindsight, that it was a bad deal.
That wasn't a good
deal. But for the drug dealers, it was a great deal.
It was a great deal. Yeah. No, I mean, I enjoyed it. Yeah. No, it was... Yeah, everybody didn't like that.
Okay,
great.
I have these friends who move weed now, and they move it in vending machines.
Okay.
Because of all the metal, their x-ray machines can't see through it.
Oh, smart. Crazy. That's pretty smart. I love it.
Shout out to dry snitching. You're reminding me of something that... when you were saying, like, you know, you get the big chunk and shit, and you know, you're like, because you know, I know how you're, I was saying, like, I'm gonna have a Porsche.
Oh,
you know
what I mean? Yeah.
And like, that you're riding a bicycle.
Yeah. Yeah, like, exactly.
This Porsche looks like a Schwinn.
Yeah, I was a. I mean, they, as much as those guys are smart, they're kind of foolish. Give Nate a fucking key instead of the LA, man. Oh, I would sit in that, my boy's room. He was slinging heroin, but I'd sit in there and just. Again, like you said, hold myself in, turn the laptop on, porn on, and I'd just be fucking just grabbing the like chunks of the coke, not even key bump or lines all pretty, just laying in the bed. I mean, coke would just be falling all over my chest. Yeah, because I'd just be going like this, just grab it with a chunk. A buddy of mine recently sent me a fucking thing where he found my face on a threesome site where I was trying to pull some bitches, and he sent me the picture, and I immediately hit that site and was like, yo, that's my fucking face, take it down, that's not me, whatever, I got it off, but my face, he was dying. Why the fuck he was on there? But he was dying because my image on there. Now I know why I never got hooked up or no, because I was just, it looked like I ate a cake. It was just fucking
It looks fake. It's it looks like it's fake, like it's flour.
I was just taking pictures, post anything, trying to meet bitches because I'm in my horn dog zone. Moment you're not, I would stare at the phone so long, my eyes would just be blurry and shit.
Dude, I went blind watching porn in that, dog. Yeah. I'm dead serious, man. I'm dead serious, dude. I have multiple sclerosis.
Shit.
I have nerve disease, man, where like, when I smoke meth now, I go blind.
See, okay, then, yeah.
My vision, I understand. I definitely can relate.
No, I didn't realize my face looked like that. You know, I'm surprised the website let me post it or whatever.
You still have access to the photo?
No.
Okay, cool. We got an Instagram. We
bro,
got it
when they got hit, like, yo, any photos? I thought of that one. But no. I mean, like I said, I tried to cover my shit really well. Like, you know, anything deleted or nothing, because I was still getting fucked up when he sent me that photo. This was a while ago. But so anything I immediately, like, got rid of. But yeah, I was like, oh, fuck.
My buddy, this friend of mine in AA, and he's like a pretty square dude. Like, fraternity type dude, and he had this dude staying with him. This is probably like 10 years ago, and he had this like dude with like 6 months staying with him or whatever, and like he goes, fuck, I had a feeling that dude was high. So he opened the door, and the dude's just covered, his whole body is covered in this powder, like this white, he's just all white, and he goes, dude, is that fucking methamphetamine? And the dude just looks at him and goes, no, it's cum.
Oh, no.
What?
He's like, you got to go. He was just,
you got to go.
He was just jacking and rubbing it all over himself.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, shit.
See, there's a certain point where, like, you know, Lawrence, whatever, you do your thing. Like, I'm not mad at you. Know? Yeah, but fuck that. Hey, that's where I draw the line.
There's a line. With everything I've done, there is
Danny's
a line.
Danny's having sex on Kawanga, but there's a line.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like to think there is. Yeah.
Behind a dumpster, you know?
Yeah.
Always on foot. You know?
He's like, I would never do that. What's the longest you stayed up on meth?
God, I want to say maybe it felt like just 5 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was like that's where I got fucked up, ended up in the hospital, and shadow people everywhere. And,
yeah, that it's fucking gnarly.
Yeah, I mean, I heard about it, but I would never, like, I guess the average would be 24 hours, like, anytime I got I was always, like, doing it that weekend, but then those times that I would do a whole week or something. Because once I got my shop, with a job, it was hard. Like I was telling him earlier, even Gulfstream, okay, I start partying on Friday night, hit the dope house Friday night. I'm still back at work by Wednesday, maybe. It was a known thing at my job that Nate misses Mondays and Tuesdays.
Yeah.
But I busted my ass so hard at my job that I was forgiven a lot. Oh, so they would just wipe it under the table. Okay, Nate's missed. And they never, I don't know why. They figured I wasn't doing what I was doing. But when I owned my graffiti store in Tucson, there was no one to answer to. So I would go, that was when I was hitting it really hard. It's kind of the time when I discovered meth. And then that would be like my store where I would get called like, yo, there's 20 kids in front of your store. You're not opened up. And I would just be like, a week long banger.
Fuck.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I ran that business into the fucking ground.
But it was I was like, I was always like 3 days up one day. Now, you know, because 3 days is, I would try to stay up longer, but only two times I think I did.
Yeah, see, maybe mine's like 4 or 5. Yeah. 5 sounds like straight, but it felt like fucking 5. I don't know.
It was probably 5. Because there's just certain points where, like, it's not, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I was telling Danny this, but I remember, like, when I stayed up 5 days, I realized I was so proud of myself. I was like, Yahtzee! I got him!
I mean, even times, isn't there that, like, tweaker sleep? Like, even when you feel asleep, you're not really asleep, man. It's like... Yeah, what is it? Screen
saver. I love that.
Just a little, beep.
That's what it was, man. Exactly.
Y'all doing sheet karate and shit? Oh, dude.
Yeah.
I know. I would get up and walk against my will. You know what I mean? Walk into shit.
Yeah,
like
sleepwalking
and shit.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. No, I would just, even if I felt like I slept, it really didn't feel like sleep. Or I'd go so long without eating that I remember that first bite would fucking hurt my throat.
Yeah.
When you swallow, it was like, oh my God, what the fuck?
And you're always eating like shit food.
Oh, yeah,
too.
Yeah. Pizza or something.
7-Eleven burritos. Yeah. Just like that. That was my like, you know, my flaming young, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was just.
That's good.
The 99 cent tacos, like, the jumbo jack with cheese. Like, just
you go, remember those Jack in the Box, 2 for $1?
Yeah.
And I swear it's like fucking cat food.
Yeah. Yeah,
it tastes so good.
Oh, man.
So good.
They are good.
I don't think it would taste good now. You know, when you have a clear head?
Yeah, yeah. No, a lot of shit. Oh.
What's up with the shit bag?
I mean, the shit bag came. I got some funny photos of me performing. And this whole tour I just did, I would always wrap my shirt around my head in the middle of my set. And there's a fucking hilarious photo of you see all these kids. They look like, I mean, it's just a fucking long scar. It's pretty gnarly. It's a fucking, I had to do a dry heel where they didn't stitch me. I just fucking wrapped it every day, unwrapped it and showered. But it came about from just like a week-long binge. A year prior, I did a week-long binge and that landed me in the hospital with insane stomach pain. And then a year later, I go on another week-long binge, end up back in the hospital, and this time they have to cut me open. They say I got a crazy infection in my intestines, and they cut like 12 inches of my intestines out. And what's
just from smoking though?
I mean that. I mean I attested to. I'm sorry. Yeah, just smoking.
Wow.
Just that's all I ever did: smoking or snorted it. But I mean, that's what all my people and everyone's like. That's what we got to attribute it to. And then what's funny is years later at Gulfstream. They know I had a shit bag, but they don't know why. I won't tell them. But anyways, I'm talking to a guy, and I'm like, I had a shit bag. And he's like, how'd you get it? And I said, I just had an infection. And he's like, oh, because I knew someone who had it, but they got it from smoking meth. And I was like, oh, disgusting. And here I'm fucking high as fuck. Yeah, yeah. But that's what I mean, because when I would smoke it, I would – after a weekend of doing it, then all of a sudden I would get these crazy boils and they'd be insane. And I mean, yeah, I'm thinking maybe I got one on my intestine. I mean, I still got scars from some of them and I don't know why I got it, but yeah, that would happen every time I'd go super hard. I'd get these nasty ass boils.
Yeah, because like I put straight up shards up my ass, and I have no complications.
No, I mean, this
like,
was...
I mean, I guess you're. I mean, like, that's I'm really
debatable.
Lucky.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm really lucky.
The worst is smoking when I would go out, because you know you think that'd stop a motherfucker, and nope, I'd go be in the dope house with a shit bag, and you're taking all these fucking hits. And I remember once this girl grinding on me in the house and I'm just giving her money like she's a stripper. We're literally in a dope house. People over there smoking. I'm paying this girl just to fucking dance on me like a stripper. And she's like, what the fuck is that? And the bag was huge from air. Because you're just leaking fucking air. Like, you're taking a huge hit of air, I guess. And, man, that bag was, like, fucking this under my shirt. And I didn't notice. But she's grinding on me. And she's like, yo, you got a fucking balloon under there. Yeah, man, I would be getting high with that motherfucker.
It had, like, a little exhaust valve, right?
Mine didn't. Mine had it was just a clip on the bottom, and you slid it open, and that's how you would air it out.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I didn't have an exhaust valve. But yeah.
So does it hold waste, or does it hold, like, air?
No, it holds shit.
Yeah.
It's a shit bag. Literally a shit bag.
No, yeah. I was like, and then I was like playing some shows at the time, so I was like, that's the third member of the band.
That's pretty hardcore.
No, yeah. One show, the people knew it, and some girl just would not leave me alone. She's like, let me see it.
Oh,
let me
dude.
See it. And I'm just like, get the fuck out of here. Like,
oh, what a fetish, man. We had a Gregory on for scat.
Oh, bro. No, there's a few times where that I was fucked up and with some females in a room, and all of a sudden, everyone's like, the fuck is that smell? And my shit bag opened up, like, during the
no
fucking...
No way.
Yeah,
no,
man. Fuck. And I started freaking out, and there was a dude in there, too. And he embarrassed me so bad, because the girls, I think, maybe left the room, and I was like, bro, I ain't going through with this. Like, my shit bag's fucking open. It stinks in here. And he's like, no, it don't. The girls come back, and he's all, girls, you fucking smell shit, and you think Nate thinks he stinks. I'm like, bro, why you say that? Fucking females, man. But yeah, I was still getting mad. Fucking.
What happened, though? Did they stay?
They did.
That's what I'm talking about.
No, bro.
That's what I'm talking about.
Bro, I tell people this. That summer with that bag, I got the fucking most pussy that summer. It's weird, bro.
That's right.
It's weird. Yeah. But yeah.
That's wow. Right. Totally.
Did you ever do speed and just wander off in the desert in Tucson?
Not just streets.
Yeah.
I guess where I lived, I mean, yeah, we're all surrounded by desert constantly. There's just long desert lots and then a building and a long desert lot. But yeah, not just walked around the city. I would walk around, even here in Long Beach, man, on 7th, there's a motel that I really loved. You rent it by the hour. And that's why I was a bad dope head, too, because most people would, like, you know, pay for the whole room for the night. But I would just pay for a $20 an hour room, but I would rent it the whole night, just wasting money. I was just a dope fiend mentality, like, not buy a big batch to get it cheaper. I just go get them 20s, you know. But, yeah, there's a few times I'd be in that room, it only got porn, and then I'd come outside and maybe see if I found a streetwalker, and I'd just be... I remember one time, man, even a dope head walked by and was like, bro, like, they could tell I was not of the environment, and they are all dressed up because it's wintertime, and they're prepared for the environment, and I'm out there in chanclas and a tank top and been out there all night freezing. Cars coming up to me thinking I'm pulling tricks, like, you know, making a few cats would be pulling up, and I'd be like, man, get the fuck on, and... Oh, man, I'd just be stuck. I could not. I remember one time I just couldn't get off the block, man. I couldn't score no more dope. I didn't want to go back home to my lady, so I would just walk for fucking, I mean, to the point where my ass is now chafing, and I don't know how long I walked around. I mean,
fuck.
My whole body feels stiff from the cold and just walking constantly, but I could not go home, man. It's fucking crazy when I think about it. Like, I couldn't walk home. And there was no more dope. There was no more money. But I just walking, man. Just fucking walking.
And your feet are all like, that's it. And then, like, you fucking, you know, like a date, like, your feet are all fucked up.
Days later, I'd be laying in bed and my lady would hate because I would sweat bad. My bed would just be a fucking pool after my weekends.
Man.
Like, just tons of sweat.
Yeah.
Yeah, just getting it all out, I guess.
It's gnarly.
Yeah. Or seeing my piss being, like, literally orange.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I wouldn't drink water.
Red piss, man.
Yeah, because you could smell it.
Yeah. This is one time. I had this watch, right? And literally, it had the thickest leather band you've ever seen. It was like as thick as a belt, this weird Russian military watch.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, Danny. And I'm wearing this watch, and I was coming back from Hollywood going to Covina, and I was arguing with my girlfriend. And, you know, I'd been wearing this, whatever, I don't know how long I had it. Not that, a couple months, maybe.
Yeah.
But we're arguing and shit, and I was, like, talking with my hands, you know? And the watch just came off, and I'm like, fuck, I thought the pin, and it, my sweat ate through it. The chemicals in my sweat ate
crazy.
Through it.
Crazy.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Fuck.
That's the deep Fanta piss.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. You're right. Yeah, exactly. No, I could smell it while I'm pissing in the toilet. Like, holy fuck.
It's nice in the sheets, too. Nice thing to the bed.
Yeah. You make some tea with it later?
Yeah. Oh, it's good to be back.
I met these. I've told this a few times before, but I met this dude where when I went to go piss at his house, and he was like an advanced tweaker, you know, like he had a pad, you know, and he had all these girls there that would come and hang out, and he would kind of like take them off the streets, and he was like that guy,
right?
And I remember going over there, and I went to go take a piss, and he was like, "Hey," he's like, "Don't piss in the toilet," and I was like, "What?" You know, he's like. Because everybody that would go there would be a tweaker, you know?
Oh, yeah,
like, he had, like, really good fucking meth, you know?
Right, okay.
Really good meth.
Right.
One of our mutual friends, maybe two of them had been to that pad with me. They'll this story up, you know? And when you got to go piss, he had all these, there was all these fucking gallon water jugs sitting around in the fucking bathroom. And I was like, what are you, you know? And he goes, if you're going to piss, use one of the jugs. And I go, what? He's like, yeah, don't use the toilet. And I didn't really, you know, and I'm whatever. I'm there to party. I don't give a fuck.
Okay, yeah, like,
I'll
rules.
I'll piss on the fucking, I'll piss on you if you want to at this point, you know. Like, let's go. And so I peed in the thing, you know, and then I later came to find out that his whole thing is he would, so when your body can't metabolize all the meth that you do. Like, it cannot take in all the amphetamines that you're fucking smoking or snorting or shooting. So you pee out, like, in your pee, there's still dope.
I see where you're
so
going.
He would take the jugs and he would evaporate the fucking urine off. And then redo the fucking meth that was left over.
No fucking way.
And he
bro.
Swore that it was like, that was like the, you know,
the shit.
The creme de la creme of the fucking dope. Yeah.
It makes sense that you could like boil it off. It does make sense.
And then how would you solidify? What do you, how do you,
well, I guess it would just crystallize. I think it would just be, or like a powder or something.
If you were to boil it, right?
Yeah.
If you were to boil it, it would boil all the liquid out, and you would have meth, I imagine, or at least an oil.
We got a pretty good filtration system built in. I mean, if you think about it, right?
Like, yeah. Like
it's going through all sorts of shit in there.
Right.
I'm not a doctor, but
I got to believe your body's not keeping that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Let that go.
Yeah.
Fuck.
You ever seen a ghost, Nate?
Like, what do you mean? Like a real ghost?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I mean, I can't say. Oh, you know what? I'm bad with my memory. When we played South by Southwest, I remember I got way too fucked up because all my shit starts. So, you know, I had 3 DUIs by my first, like 21. So I've always been an alcoholic or something. But I remember getting way too fucked up the night we played South by Southwest. So my brother and my bandmate go to party at a Vice party the next night. And I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to stay home or in this hotel room. And I'll never forget, man, I woke up and I felt like there was a body standing over me and like just looking at me. I remember the silhouette. He had a hat and everything. And I remember being so scared. It was like sleep paralysis. I tried to kick him with my foot and couldn't. And all I remember is I'm thinking I'm trying to yell something, but I don't know what I'm trying to yell. And the word that came out was mom. Like I fucking yelled for my mommy, dude. I was like, mom. Because you're right. So that was, and that was not no, you know, I did coke that weekend, but I didn't do no meth. But that I want to say is my ghost. Yeah.
I bet you all that shit's haunted down there.
Yeah, it was Austin. It was a crazy. The South by Southwest was in town. You could not get a good hotel room, so it was like an insane room I got. And yeah, I mean that's my ghost story.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, I was fucking scared as fuck.
Oh man,
like real scared.
Wait, Lawrence, have you ever seen a ghost?
Nah, man, I don't think so. I mean, like I've been in meth psychosis, so I've seen a lot of ghosts in my.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I was just gonna ask him that, like. You don't have a ghost story on
it. I mean, like, I really like what Jimmy said. Jimmy and Jeff said, like, when you hit the darkness, you hit some sort of otherworldly realm. Because everybody I know that gets in, like, the darkness after a couple of days sees the same demons, sees the same shadow people. How is that a common theme that everybody sees shadow people? How is that a theme that everybody has the same exact psychosis every single time?
All these different people.
That makes sense to
me. We got to send that episode to Nate.
Dude,
there's shit in there that'll get you fucking, give you the chills.
Sick. All right. Yeah, definitely.
These dudes are fucking, it's weird, man.
No way.
Yeah.
Dope.
Weird.
Dope.
Like.
Riverside, real like Riverside tweakers.
That's
you know?
All I hear about.
Yeah. How'd you get into? When did music come on the scene? When did that?
I've been a fan of music since a kid, and then I think I bought my first drum machine, wanting to make like rap beats. Probably when I was in Tucson, you couldn't even buy instruments, so I had to order it from the back of a magazine. I mean, the type of instrument I wanted. You couldn't buy drum machines or nothing. So I bought an SP 1200 when I was. Maybe 18, 19. Yeah, yeah. And that was
look
my
at Dave
first...
giving a thumbs up.
No, I still got my SP 1200. I still got my ASR 10.
Wow.
Yeah, I got to get the SP worked on. But yeah, I wanted to make beats. And then at one point I was like, you know what? I want to make other. My buddy started turning me on. It was graffiti writers, really. I had my store because I loved hip hop. But then graffiti writers, that's when I started realizing a lot of graffiti writers didn't like rap. They just fucking like graffiti. So they came to us. My boy Ray's, we'd have him in the shop and we'd have him run it for us. And he would always just shit on customers coming to buy rap music. But he was a graffiti head. So they started turning me on to other music. And then I'm like, I want to make that other music. I don't know any musicians. So let me try to make punk music with drum machines and samplers and shit.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been doing forever.
That's amazing, dude.
Thank you, man. I just have fun. I've gotten a lot of love out of this COVID shit forever. I never thought people would dig it, at least enough for me to try to live off it. And COVID made everyone...
People fucking dig it.
Yeah, I'm really grateful. Yeah.
I'm trying to control my fanboy shit.
I'm really fucking grateful.
Sign
grateful.
My chest.
Sign the top of Mike's head.
Welcome back, Mike.
That's right across the divot.
Yeah.
Do you have shows coming up?
Yeah, I got a tour. I'm about to go play a couple shows in Texas, some hardcore fest, and then I have a tour coming up with Horror. And that's and that's April to May.
I think they were just on Powerful Truth Angels.
Right? Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep, yeah. Yep. Those are my boys. Yeah, yeah. So I'll be opening for them.
Dude, so sick.
Yeah,
sick.
I'm really stoked for that one.
You had a tour that you had a tour that got canceled or got pushed or
no, I just did the City Horror tour, but the Horror tour we were supposed to do and then COVID canceled that.
I mean, COVID canceled everything. Yeah,
exactly. Uh-huh. But then I got to do the City Morgue tour like within a month of getting a manager and then a booking agent, and then I like a week later from getting the booking agent, I got the City Morgue tour. Shit moved really fast. And that was my first tour.
Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I think I got a warrant in Kansas right now because I don't have a driver's license. I ain't had one in fucking 25 years. But and so my lady was real tired, so I ended up driving in Kansas and got pulled over. But the cop was really cool. I was like, "Oh, I'm on tour, man. Let me." And he's just like, "I'll give you a ticket and let you go." But then he asked me for my name and band and all that. And as soon as I got in the car, I'm like, "Let's get the fuck out of here before he finds my Mr. Fuck the Police song or some shit." I'm like, "Let's go." But so I gotta go handle that.
Oh, Lawrence, can you send him that episode too? The one where they talk about Stull, Kansas?
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Stull, Kansas.
Okay.
Where Blackie and them went with Nirvana. You got to hear the story.
Oh, it's sick. Crazy.
Yeah, our homie played in, he was a drummer for Urge Overkill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sick.
And, right? That's right. Yeah. 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 Dude, and he went out. He has this story where they played in this little, like, devil worshiping fucking town.
No
and
way.
Yeah, like, dude, the fuck. It's fucking bananas.
Oh,
it's
crazy.
one of the creepiest little fucking ghost story things you'll ever hear.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. We're
not gonna get like they were on tour with Nirvana. Neither band was big though. At the
okay,
time. This is right before, but they went. They would go. They were like, "Let's go check out this town. It's supposed to like be the most like evil town in America."
Whoa!
But you have to listen to it.
Okay,
it's horrifying. I mean,
no
like,
way,
yeah. Right? I was like,
I'm
like, he is not making this. You could hear it in his voice.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's
he lived
spooky
this
stuff
shit.
That's fun and like interesting, and then there's that spooky stuff that's just like, maybe we don't want to talk about it too much.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
No, I dig that.
Dude, yeah. And it was Halloween night.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. When they were there or when he was telling you the story? Okay. No,
they played it like, where was it, Mike? Kent State or something? Or no, Kansas State University or
okay,
something?
Yeah, yeah.
But they decided after the show to drive to that town.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck that.
You got like the most haunted town or something.
Yeah.
Or the most possessed.
Okay.
I don't know.
You got to Google it. You can get it.
Yeah,
all
right.
It's called Stull, Kansas.
Okay. Yeah.
And there's an Urge Overkill album named that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Dope. Yeah. Yeah.
What's up with these golf streams? I think it's a cool story, man.
I mean, thank you.
this guy built planes for like Oprah. Fucking Jim Carrey. I mean, what else is there? Like Russian mobsters?
Russian mobsters.
Like
the best plane. Yeah, that's why I was like, oh, fuck, crime really does pay.
Yeah,
his plane was doper than fucking Oprah's or Steve Jobs, everybody's. But I got into aviation when I shut my store down because I was all fucked up. And my brother was like, man, we're getting going to try to get you focused. My first real job wasn't till then, like when I was 30 years old. And he was like, fuck it, we're going to get you in aviation. Did that. And where I learned aviation in Tucson was a wild place. Like, Like I was telling you, we had nothing but illegals working there. We'd get raided by ICE all the time. My manager would have the illegals clock into a plane job and then go fucking work on his house. Like, it was just wild. Like, it was just everybody who worked there was a felon, like my brother, my other brother by marriage. But I learned aviation there on passenger planes. And then when that dried up and I came out here, like I said, I went through my shit in the streets of, you know, fucking around. And I was like, fuck this, man. I'm not going to hustle out here no more. Let me get a job. And I looked for aviation in California and I found Gulfstream. And yeah. I was really grateful to get them because they're the echelon of aviation. I mean, it's like really dope planes. And
is that in Long Beach?
Yeah, Long Beach Airport. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then COVID closed us down. But yeah.
Oh, shit.
That was a cool experience.
So wait, do they not? I mean, they still make planes? Or,
yeah. They have one in Savannah as the hub. Okay. They shut down Dallas during COVID. They shut down a lot of plants during COVID, and they're opening one in Mesa, Arizona.
The Gulfstream was the first time I'd ever heard of a, like, private jet.
Yeah. No, they're like fucking $65 million. Shit, $65 million is like just the going rate.
No
like,
way.
Once you, Yeah. 60 easy, man.
I mean, Jim Carrey has one?
Yeah, he had one.
Yeah.
I don't know if he does anymore, but yeah. You'd be surprised. Like I was telling him, I was fucking blown away of how much fucking money, because there was like a waiting line to buy these fucking things. Wow. So I'm like, man, there's that many people waiting to buy a $65 million plane.
Yeah.
And then when they get tired of waiting, they'll be like, all right, I don't want it. I don't want this plane no more. So then Gulfstream started saying, okay, if you want a plane, you're going to put down a $5 million deposit. People, after putting the $5 million deposit down, sometimes after a while would still be like, fuck it, I don't want the plane. And they're just throwing $5 million away. I'm like, man, my fucking city needs a school.
$5 million away, man.
I mean, do they have to be celebrities or like
rich guy, Bitcoin money?
Yeah, 65 million.
I worked on GoPro guy's plane. He tried to give everybody GoPros, but that's in aviation, giving someone a gift is really like a kickback. Like they don't, it's frowned upon.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, he's trying to give us all, I worked on, the GoPro guy, I forget. It was PayPal, but not Musk or whatever.
Peter Thiel, right?
Yeah, I forget who. Yeah. But I mean, tons of startups.
Dude,
who, he's, right? He's gone, right?
Oh, no, what happened?
No, I don't know. I might be getting that wrong.
Yeah. You're thinking of Steve, what's his name?
Yeah.
No, I don't think, he's not a PayPal guy, is he?
No, who's that? Maybe I'm wrong. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All those guys sound the same. They have those short, sassy names.
Exactly.
Stephen, I don't know.
Yeah, no, Steve Jobs. Like, I worked on his plane.
There you go.
Yeah,
he's like fucking meticulous. Like, there's some people that are like, nah, I need this fucking right. Like, there's, I won't, yeah. I mean, he was passed away, but yeah. And then I think the McDonald's wife, we worked on her plane. It was all like fucking pink.
Wow.
Like, yeah, some people ask, but Geffen, I worked on. A lot of people's planes. It's not all celebrities. There's just some motherfuckers with money out there.
Yeah. Well, like you're saying that the true ballers just get a white plane.
Yeah, exactly. Some
they
people
ain't
trying do
to, colors. Trying to flex with like colors. Just
no,
white.
Some race car driver had a matte black one, which
that's
I
tight.
Thought was dope. Yeah, but it's like, yo, it's in the sky. Who's going to see this shit?
Yeah, like Oprah's plane is white.
Yeah, who's?
Oprah's
was white. Yeah. Even all inside was all white.
Really? White on white.
Yeah.
But I said, the best plane I worked on, the flyest one was a mobster. And that's why I was like, oh, fuck, man. He's got a flyer. He had wood floors in his plane, and it was just baller.
Wow.
Yeah. He got busted. So I think maybe the government or whatever. I know we were working on the plane for the bank. The bank took it back from him, wanted us to fix it up a different way so they could resell it.
Can you fit like a twin size bed? Out of touch with, I'm far from it.
They'll have two divans, you call them, two couches, and then it'll slide into a big king size bed.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of room.
Yeah. The back.
That's amazing.
Oh, man, they're fucking, they're dope planes. But I was fucking high building them.
That's amazing.
But you're safe. I was just interiors. I wasn't fucking working on the engine. The worst thing I could do is like fuck up your couch.
Yeah. So when did you start? So you would keep the binge thing going, right?
Yeah,
you would get these binges where you would go and it would be a weekend that sometimes would be a little longer than a weekend or whatever. And when did you realize that it was like a thing, you know, that it was?
Fuck. I mean, I think that's how I justified it for so long. Cause I was like, oh, yo, I got a job, you know, no one's fine. It was like that bottom felt like it was there every weekend, but it wasn't so bad that, I don't know. I just justified it in so many ways. So I mean, I'm only My last big fucking hoorah was last year in April. I went to go see my grandson turned one, and I went to go to his party. And my baby's mom, she's all fucking twacked out, and I hadn't seen her since probably my 20s. And I saw her at the party, and it kind of fucked me up. I'm not using that excuse, but I went to go watch a fight with some guys, did some bumps, and I was supposed to fly back to Long Beach the next day. And man, I probably canceled 7 flights. I was out in Tucson for a week just benching, going at it. And I think that's when it hit me. I came back, and that was right before the Frogtown show with Dead City. And I wanted to cancel that because I was just in a fucked up place. And that's when it just kind of hit me like, oh, man, I'm just tired of letting people down. I'm fucking, yeah, that's what it really was.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, I was a wild one.
Yeah. And would you, and what, like, what was your, you know, like, what was your, how did you get out of it? How did you get past it, you know?
I that's what I mean. I went to a meeting right when I got back into Long Beach. Someone recommended one in the Highland Park, and I went. But I want to just say it was just me just fucking finally being, and there's times, man, I'm still in the same hood. Like, I walk by that hotel that I go every day when I go on my jog. I'm walking by all the places I fucking get high in. And there are times where I'm fucking, I'm not kidding, man. I clench my fist to where my nails are digging in my palms. And not because of urge, but just memories. But it was just, I don't know. Like, I'm just tired of letting people down, man. Yeah. That's really what it was. I was like, I'm fucking done with this. You know, I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, I've never been to a meeting, never ran the program or nothing. So I am sometimes scared. Like, yo, maybe I just ain't faced the shit that's going to send me back to it. But right now I can stand on. I'm just tired of letting motherfuckers down. And the music is really doing okay for me right now. I don't ever want to gas it up, but I'd like to tell myself that it's because I stopped drugging, you know? So I want to tell myself that, hey, if you do that shit, you're going to lose this again. Cause you know, I mean, I did, I would fuck up tons, man. I remember we got asked to open for Ty Dolla $ign, and the night of, I just called the promoter and was like, I ain't coming. And I just fucking did so much coke. I think one band, I forget who they were. They were pretty big. Everyone was bugging that I canceled. But I canceled so many shows the night of because I was so fucked up. I mean, we were doing pretty good with my band, and the drugs just, I booked a couple songs on Workaholics. Blake Anderson was a fan. And I just fucking, my drugs took a lot of chances and opportunity away from me.
Yeah.
So I just noticed now. So I don't know. I've just got tired of it, I guess. I don't know. Cause I'm, yeah, this April will be a year for me.
Wow.
I mean, that's right great. Now. Yeah. That's thank awesome. You. Thank
that's
you.
Amazing. Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, just tired of that. I don't ever want to go back.
I'm so glad you can fucking hang it up, man. Yeah. It's fucking tough.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm glad you can go to work on the shit.
Yeah. Well, the work, I never was.
I literally was like, is this motherfucker from Mars?
No. I never went to the job on meth, but coke. Yeah. I'd be in the bathroom, like, Long Beach, you know, Gulfstream works right next to Long Beach Airport. So I didn't want to be sniffing in the bathroom and fools hear me. So at lunch, I would go to Long Beach Airport and use their bathroom and just fucking do tons of coke and then come back off lunch. Yeah. But never meth on the job.
Yeah.
Because
Lawrence is mad at me.
Yeah, yeah. Why not? What the fuck do you mean? Yeah.
Lawrence all set tripping?
Bro, you're not a man. Lawrence, like, this because meth, anytime I did that shit, though, it was like there was no do some meth and like go function. It was like do meth and five fine whores. It it was never no half step. It would be if I would have hit the pipe or like a night before. There was a few times where I partied the night before and I was like, okay, I'm going to be able to make it. And I would lay in that bed, just completely zoinked out of my mind, my girl next to me. And sometimes she'd be like, I know you're not fucking sleeping, motherfucker. But I'd just be sitting there. I'd get up, put the whole Gulfstream outfit on, like I'm going to go to work, walk out the house. And then I'd just go right to a dope spot. There was no way I was going to go to work. I was fucking horny. I wanted a room and a whore. And I literally sit there at a bus stop where I'd catch to go to the job and just be on Backpage or something trying to find, you know, who parties and plays.
Man, and then, you and I are very, very similar. Okay, I love you, that brother. Makes sense. Yeah, I don't feel so alone because Russian Danny, I mean, Ukrainian Danny, my bad. I hit
it's
myself.
Okay, hey, it's
yeah, I mean, like, he's crying. He's got to get the crime. And then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, see, I wasn't that.
About the
I
never, crime. Yeah. I just, you know, it's good to have a friend.
No, hey, man. For so long, I thought I was alone in this.
Yeah, because we're like not ugly or like weird looking people. It's just like, when you get high, that's the thing.
That's your
it doesn't matter about the outsides or what people perceive as that. It's like, that's how the brain goes.
Yeah. I don't know what the fuck it does.
Some people get high, like Annie Hart was talking about, some people get high and they do crime. Some people get high and then they want to create and be creative. Some people get high and it's when we Jack Boys. You know what I'm saying?
Like Jack Boys.
You know what I'm saying?
I know, like I've said before, like my friends that are jack off dudes, like they could have fucking six women in the house. They have no interest in it.
Oh, that's me. We're saying that.
Like, yeah. I had this girl named Brittany J when I was living in downtown Santa Monica. She's from the hood from Lambert Park. And she was this girl, I had like 10 pounds of weed and I was trying to sell weed and like I wasn't really smelling, kind of like your kilo thing. I had 10 pounds of weed and it just wasn't really working out for me.
Yeah.
So then like, dude, I had this girl, she's naked there searching for porn for me. I'm just like beating off. I'm just like, dude, I'm too occupied. I'm too busy right now to have you next to me being naked, you know?
No, I've had whores. Like street walking whores.
Exactly. And she's trying to help me find the porn. I push her hand away like you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying?
No, I've had a bitch say, oh, yo, I'm fucking horny too. And I'm like, sorry, man.
Yeah.
Don't leave. Yeah, I'll give you more money.
Absolutely.
Nate, no faces, one man show.
That's it. That's straight up. Really up.
That was his first solo project.
Amazing.
All B-sides. Fuck.
I'm kind of interested, like, how do you wrap, you said you would wrap bundles of weed, like 50-pound
The bales would just be changing. Like, you know, if this one's a 50, that one's 100. But I was just
like, 100 pounds. What does 100 pounds look like? I mean, the most I've seen is like 10, 12 pounds.
I mean, this isn't what they're doing these days. Okay, cool.
This is Zona. You know, like, this is Zona weed.
I always say my buddies, if you're on the East Coast, there's actually a term, Arizona.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? In rap songs you hear. Yeah. And I always joke saying, like, that's because of my friends. Like,
you're saying it's 350 a pound, right?
Like, that's what it's about. It's 350, 400, and it sells for 8. Or a G somewhere in the East.
And it's like it's brick, you know, it started off as like whatever. It wasn't ever, and it wasn't like, it wasn't stress weed, you know, it wasn't
My boys had some good shit.
It was good.
Like, that's what I was saying with him.
Or it would be like Christmas time, and that's when like we call them the Christmas buds were in town. And I mean, that's just, everyone's doing that in Arizona, man, like I said, or Tucson at the time. In the 90s and early 2000s, everyone was fucking involved in the game somehow.
Is Tucson close to the border?
Yeah, like, I remember this guy driving to our blockyard pony, and he literally leaves his rig there, fucking 16 pallets of Adobe block that we bought from Sonora. And this motherfucker gets out the truck and gets his blanket and just starts walking. And I'm 17 working. It was my mom's husband who owned this blockyard. And I'm like, yo, does he want to ride to the border? I'll give him a ride. Because it was at least a 60-minute drive, maybe 45 minutes if you punch it, and Boney just fucking walked back. Wow. Like, he just left his diesel at my family's yard.
No way.
Yeah. He just left his diesel at my family yard and just walked back. Wow. Yeah.
Dedication. Yeah. I mean, Lawrence, like, paint a picture for
us,
like, so, okay, so there, you get this weed, and like, before like the whole medical thing really kicked off,
exactly.
Like, it wasn't like, you could get it and you could maybe make X amount, you know, like you would get it for $300, $350. You could sell it for $400, $450.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Just and a couple bucks.
Yeah, a couple bucks. You're selling 100 of them. Exactly. You're getting a little cut. Then the whole medical thing pops off and they want to get like indoor, whatever, you know, they want to get like purple fucking buds, cushions or whatever. Yeah. But then also that opens up this market for all this bud where people like, you know, these dispensaries cannot get enough fucking, you know, like, it becomes legal for medical use. Anybody could go and get their fucking medical recommendation from a doctor, you know? And then it turns into this thing where, like, then you could take these fucking $300 pounds and you get them over here and you could sell them to dispensaries for $600
a pound. Yeah.
Which was, like, unheard of at this point, you know? But then you're, like, bringing out, you go and you get a fucking U-Haul and you drive it out there, you pick it, you fucking load it up with whatever, literally as much as you can get. And, like, you would just go, like, you know, Sunset, like, on Sunset, there was like a few dispensaries. On Santa Monica, there was a few.
No,
and you would
shit.
Just go from one to the next. And it was like maybe 9 or 10 dispensaries here. And we would just, I mean, like I was 7, I wasn't old enough to get my fucking, my medical marijuana license. And I was fucking making $10,000 a trip, like going and fucking dropping it off. You know, I was like living at my mom's house. Like I had a drawer
at one point that was just filled with fucking cash. Yeah, and I got, the first time I got busted, I remember calling my mom and being like, Mom, like, you know, because of course I'm going to call, you know, I'm
fucking,
I need
her
to bail me out, but I'm not going to ask my mom to use her fucking hard-earned money.
No, exactly.
You know? So I'm like, Mom, there's a drawer in my room. You know, like, I remember visualizing the drawer. I call her, I'm like, there's a drawer in my room. I don't even, I got arrested for fucking, for painting some shit, you know, like, and I got busted for it. And it was kind of a big charge, you know.
Right,
I was Mom, there's a drawer in my room. I need you to go in that drawer. You're going to open it. Please don't fucking, I know. Like, I know you're going to be bummed about it.
Yeah.
Take this much cash out and fucking go take it to this fucking place. And like, I need to get bailed out. You know, gave me out. And she came there. She got me and she goes, I know it's not my money. I don't give a fuck how you got it. I don't give a fuck how it got there. I don't give a fuck what else was in that drawer. Because of course there's going to be some other shit in the drawer.
Yeah.
There's going to be like a little strap in there. There's going to be a little bit of cocaine, like something else.
Just not what mom needs to see.
Yeah, exactly. And she goes, I don't care how. And this is in her home.
Right.
This is my, I have a, you know, my little brother was born at the time. He must have been like maybe one or two. And she was like, hey, I don't give a fuck how this got there. I don't give a fuck what you're doing. I don't want to know. She goes, but just know that this is your one time that I'm doing this. And I'm, you know, don't like,
God bless
and
mom.
I would call her, you know, I'd call her big mom. I'm going to go and retrieve her. And she'd say, cool, good luck. Hit me up when you're out, you know, click that phone every time.
Wow.
Yeah. Respect.
Did you ever like, cause I know after a binge of meth, if I hit weed, just like one little hit, it would reignite the meth high.
Oh,
you,
yeah.
You guys do that? No. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's really?
I wouldn't. If you smoke too much, now you're high. But if I just took one little hit of weed, it felt like I was fucking twacked out again.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I didn't, at the end, I was smoking weed because I was trying to calm myself down.
Yeah.
Because I was all fucking like, you know, I'm like fucking Barney Fife and shit. Like, Andy! You know, like, on like some Joe Cocker shit and everything. I'm like fucking trading speed for weed, trying to mellow out. It didn't even affect. Wow. I was
I was just wondering if I was just me again.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, no, definitely. I had a weird thing happen that I've never met anybody else that it happened to, where when I was like 15 or 16 and I was first snorting fucking, I was snorting meth and I would like go and I would get it from my friend's mom. And this was maybe like, she was like, she held down a job for her whole fucking life. And now she was like, I think, and this is like where the meth, before it switched, you know?
Okay, yeah.
And maybe she had somebody from the good old days, whatever. But I would like pinch her sack and I would go home and I would be up and I would be like the black book dude. And I'd be fucking sitting there like sketching for days, you know, to the point where like, your page is like going through, like the markers going through three different pages and whatever.
Yeah, laying it on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I would go, and I was living with my mom and my stepdad, and I couldn't smoke in the house. So I would go into the garage in the back, and I would take like a big bong grip of whatever weed I would have. But what started happening was, and I don't know if it was because I was awake too long or if I was dehydrated or what it was, but I would fucking black out. And I would take a bong grip.
Yeah, it'll make you too
tired.
And
I would fucking black, and I would come to, and I'd be laying on the floor and shit. And I'd be like, oh, fuck. Like, you know, and I would be like, all right, I can't do this, you know? And an hour later, I'm fucking, oh, fuck, it happened again. Yeah.
Just fainting goat style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for real. Oh, man.
You have no psychosis.
What do you mean?
Hear
like,
things, see things.
I mean, I'm a fucking weirdo. I know it affected me somehow, but yeah, no, I don't hear things or see things in this part of my life.
No, I mean, like when you're
telling us a story about fucking when there was raining outside.
Oh,
you thought
Vince was
a couple that he was inviting.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's fucking invincible, dude. This guy's
a
champion.
No, I would. Yeah, that same night, I thought there was like a fucking orgy going on in my apartment. I thought I was hearing yells and. Yeah, no, if I was, for sure, I would see things and hear shit.
Origin, for sure.
I mean, that's what my mind made it is.
I had something where, like, my ex-girlfriend, like, I thought she rented the apartment above me, and she was a federal agent, and then her best friend, which was a manager at Sephora, because I used to work at Nordstrom, and my psychosis was they used to spray cologne inside the air conditioning unit, and I could smell it. I collect colognes. So like I'd be in my room. I would smell the cologne. I would talk. Like, oh yeah, that's da 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 cologne, huh? And they would try to talk to me about like trying to psychically talk to me through cologne. Like it's some sort of term where like you can actually smell something that's not really there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Like so. Like it was just some crazy stuff.
Tell Nate about when you thought that cop was after you. Your peace offering.
Yeah. So man, like it's always cologne. Something's always about cologne for me. You know what I'm saying? Like always. Like so. Like. I thought about this. There's actually more details. Like I had Glendale Police Department and I had LAPD Police Department and they were trying to like struggle about who was going to actually get me to go to jail.
And so I could psychically talk to them, and I would have conversations with them. And then basically, like, the main LAPD cop, uh-huh. I forget his name, but, like, you know, because he's not even real, but, like...
Yeah, I was about to say, wait, wait.
No, but he saw my cologne collection. Like, I would have a cologne collection in my car, and, like, I would tell him what the notes were in the cologne, and he said, oh, yeah, my wife really likes that one. So, like, I'm in Trader Joe's parking lot in, like, Hollywood, off of Vine, I think. And so, like, I'm putting the cologne out there, and I'm spraying out there. It's like, what do you think of that scent? She goes, yeah, my wife loves that one. That's the one she's going to have.
Fuck.
So then, like, and I had the lotion for it, because you compare, it was Le Labo Bergamot 22, and I had the matching lotion for it, because it's just how it goes, you know?
Yeah,
So then, like, the lotion, I'm spraying out the window, like, so it's like, so they can see that it's real. It was crazy, man. One time, I had this other psychosis where, like, I always thought I wanted to find a safe place to always jack off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it never was a safe place ever.
No, no.
It would always end up becoming like they were after me, right? And I'd always book these really strange hotel rooms far away, like in like Rosemead or in Alhambra. And I found this one motel that was like in down, like it was like in the hood in like East LA. And like, so I had this cologne, and then like I just like, I saw this guy come outside. I'm in there. My car, it's like, I haven't washed it like in 6 months. It looks totally fucked up. And I see this guy come out from downstairs, and he looks like a fucking cop. So immediately, my psychosis kicks up, and then the guy's like, oh, you know, you got to put these colognes. I'm like, dude, I really want to keep my Aventus. Is that cool? You're like, Aventus is like a $600 cologne. So
but
like,
this is all in your head, right?
All in my head.
All in your head.
All
right.
In my head, man.
I was so going to ask you if you like that Creed.
Yeah. I'm all about the Creed.
Green Irish Creed.
Yeah, G.I.T. So, that's what it's all about, baby.
I just switched it up for a bottle of Floris.
Oh, really?
Ian Fleming's cologne.
Yeah, like...
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Dope.
Yeah.
I have, like, hundreds of milliliters of Green Irish Tweed, and I'll give you some.
Yeah.
Wow. Hundreds. Yeah. Oh, wow. I had it harvested and bought it. It's like, I bought 1,000 milliliters. It's like a $950 bottle.
Oh,
they're
shit.
They're insane. It's
yeah,
insane.
Man, you know what I'm saying? I'm high class, you know what I'm saying? I go hard in the
paint
with
that.
Wait.
But you're getting sidetracked. Tell him, remember you left the peace offering for the
car. Oh, yeah. And then, I mean, where left in the Bergamot 22?
Yeah.
Yeah, put it outside the car. Yeah, of course you have to. Because then, like, he took it, and I'm like, cool, it's cool. We're cool. And then the problem was, I never talked about the Glendale's argument. Hey, man, why'd you do that, man? You should, like, they're arguing about who's going to take me to jail, and I drop off the Bergamot 22, and then it was just like a wrap, you know?
But where'd you drop it off at?
I dropped it off right in the parking lot.
Of the police station?
A police station? No.
Oh, of the hotel?
Of the hotel.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
For sure.
Sick.
So, like, fuck. Man, I've been in so many psychoses.
Wait, the hotel,
like,
or the Trader Joe's?
The Trader Joe's. I lived in front of the Trader Joe's. Oh, yeah. But at one time...
You know what's funny is these water bottles that we're all sipping from came from that same Trader Joe's.
Right. Really? Oh, my God. Dude.
Shout out Vine Trader
circle.
Joe's. Yeah, yeah.
Crazy, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
No, I think the most one I can remember is just me talking to the fucking vent, thinking
dude,
they're
that's a so that's
I mean, there's
one.
Probably
dude,
this
vent,
more,
man.
But...
I know that vent so well. You know what's crazy about the vent? I'm sorry. What's crazy about the vent is, like, I would look at the vent, and there's this little tiny thing that's in there, and I thought it was a camera. But what it actually is, after, like, lots of research being sober, it actually regulates to tell when to turn the AC on.
Oh, okay.
But it looks like a fucking camera. It's actually the thing that, like, it's a
like
barometer.
A thermometer? Okay, yeah,
it's a thermometer, but it looks like it was a camera, because I'm in psychosis, so it's, like, moving back and forth. I'm like, oh, they're monitoring me inside this motherfucker, dude. It was like crazy, dude.
Did you hang a towel over it or anything?
I kept the vent closed all the time. Yeah, for sure, wow. Yeah.
I wonder if who stumbled upon that bottle of Bergamot 22.
I don't know.
They came up.
Someone left like a bottle of Aventus out there.
It has no idea the story behind it.
Yeah, oh yeah, they don't know.
I mean, like, what billionaire just passed out from a heart attack?
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
How much is that bottle worth?
Of the Bergamot 22?
Yeah.
Like, not much, like 230?
Yeah, oh, no big deal.
That's
200.
Yeah, exactly. That's not
much. I mean, like, I've been really depressed because I was dating this gold digger that took me for all this money, but I had sex with her, so, like, whatever, it's cool, it's good. I got sober sex out of the way, you know what I'm saying? It was good. So I got really depressed, so I bought this extremely expensive fragrance that I can't afford right now, all the way from, it's Baccarat Rouge 540 X-Tray, and it was like $700.
Oh, I know that one.
Yeah, I just ordered it now. I'm wearing it right now. You want to smell it?
Nice.
Yeah.
It is lovely.
I know.
But I always look at those things, and I'm like, Who buys that?
Dude, Lawrence moved in here. No bullshit. And I came in the house. I was like, geez, it smelled like Macy's, right? I'm like, what the fuck?
And I like, noticed that. Oh, that's right. You're living here.
Yeah.
When I came in, I was like, that smells nice.
Nice. Wow. Dude, I literally had to put this fucking box in the garage. And then I go out to my car the next morning. I'm like, God damn, now the garage smells like amazing. Like, there's no. So finally, I put it under this deck, right?
Yeah.
Is that where I put it?
Oh, you put it inside this really secure box. And I brought it back in my room. Uh-oh. So, yeah. So, like, no, but like, when I first moved in here, I thought, oh, Keith, this fucking hates me. Because the first, you just walked in, you stormed in there. You didn't look mad, but you're like, oh, no, dude. And you're like, and you took the cologne out of the door. I'm like, oh, my God, this is the best. This is not a good start. This is not the beginning of a relationship.
Cologne taken away.
Yeah.
It's a lot of cologne.
It's a lot of.
It's a container,
I have a lot of, yeah. It's a lot. It's great.
Yeah,
it's
good. Smell good.
Yeah. There you go.
And, dude, I just gave another one away, though. I gave away the girl, like a Mason Francis Curgeon Gold Fluidity. That's like a 240 bottle. Other girl before, I gave away a 100 milliliter bottle of Suntal 33. And I gave her also another 100 milliliter bottle of Hospiteur. You know, it's by House of Siage. It's a $450 bottle.
Just for the record, I'm going to just speak for at least me, Danny, and Nate. None of us have ever heard of any of these.
They sound fancy as fuck, though.
Suntal 33.
Suntal 33, though.
I know Suntal 33.
Yes, everyone knows Suntal.
Have you tried Vacation yet? Have you seen that?
No, Vacation? What is this?
So just Google it. It's called Vacation Cologne, and it's basically designed to smell like a poolside hotel in the
80s. Oh, shit.
And it's like a combination of like a little like it smells like
oil.
Pool water and lycra and suntan oil.
Seriously.
And like cigarettes. When I first smelled it, I was like, Jesus, my dad.
Hold on a minute, Mike. You're saying that you bought it.
Yeah. Oh, I bought the shit. And,
I thought Mike just slipped. I first smelled it, I was like, wait a minute.
So good. I was like, oh, it's make you want to eat it. So good.
And Lawrence should have a cologne off.
Yeah, we should have a cologne off, man. Yeah. Dude,
I love it.
For
I'll
sure,
bring
man.
My kit next time.
Yeah.
So
at the live show, you guys will have like, there'll be a merch table, and then we'll have like a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you gonna be around for the live show, or are you going on tour?
When is it?
May 19th.
May 19th. No, I'm back May 17th.
Oh, come by. Right. Yeah. Please come by.
No, I'm down.
Yeah, so it's so dope.
And what is going on then?
We're going to do a live show at the Echoplex. We're going to bring some of our guests back. Tokes is going to DJ it. We're going to have some new merch.
Why don't we have Nate do a song?
We couldn't be on the bill as I got some fun. This is my radius clauses. I didn't even know what the fuck these were.
Yeah.
But I've had to turn down some hope. Like the last Dead City show I did. I did it anyways because I'm not going to tell a homie no, but they couldn't put me on the bill.
Oh,
I didn't realize you do a show and then a promoter, you'll sign a contract to promoter saying you can't play another show so many days before or after mine or within so many miles.
That's if your name's on the bill.
Your name's on the bill. They don't want you to promote it or nothing. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know how strict it gets. My guy's cool if I don't.
If we said special guest, could you hook us up?
If you said special guest.
Most special guest.
It's
a lot.
If Nate can get a motherfucking bottle of Boujon.
Fucking Florentine 33.
I'm
in, man.
So super extra special guest.
Just come hang out.
So sick, man. That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah, dude, so tight.
I think we're good.
Yeah, I think
we're good.
All right, man. Awesome. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Nate,
no
face.
Nate, no face.
Definitely.
Nate, what's your Instagram real quick?
Nate, no face. NNOFACE.
Give me a daily shot for a minute by your biggest salute. Billy and Biden are still getting us all ready to die in suits. Having no luck in the world, just fuck me, I don't know what to do. Give me advice on how to live life, but only I'm not like you, so what? Still getting high, so I'm ready to die in suits. world just fuck me, I don't know what to do. Give me advice on how to live life, but only I'm not like you. So maybe I die in smile, if it's no problem, I'll just die. Maybe I die in smile, if it's no problem, I'll just die. Maybe I die in smile, if it's no problem, I'll just die. Maybe I die in smile, if it's no problem, I'll just die. Maybe I die in smile, if it's no problem, I'll just die. Maybe I die with a smile on my face, no problem, I'll just die. Maybe I die with a smile on my face, no problem, I'll just die. Maybe I die with a smile on my face, no problem, I'll just die.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. Thanks again, Nate No Face, for coming out. And don't forget, May 19th at the Echoplex, we're going live. First annual It's All Badapalooza. Tickets are live in the bio. You could get them on Ticketmaster. Type us in. I can't believe that they're giving it. I mean, I can't believe it. We're going to have some new merch. We're going to have special guests. We're going to have music. We're going to have all kinds of fun stuff. Pull up. Come hang out with us. Fuck, you could even tell a story if you want. We're going to have some cool celebrity guests. We're going to have amazing merch, stuff that I haven't even seen with my own two eyes yet, but I can't wait to show it to you guys. And like and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram. Shoot us an email if you want to be on the show. Tell your friends. It's all bad. Peace. Yeah.